preacher this evening is Reverend Tom Laverty, and he is going to come now and bring the Lord's Word. We trust God will bless him and use him tonight here as he ministers in the gospel.
Turn your Bible tonight, please, to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 6. How do you think, Mr. Greer? Those words of welcome again. It's nice to be here and to be able to preach the gospel tonight in this meeting. Genesis chapter 6, well-known portion of God's Word, and we're beginning to read together tonight from verse number 1. Genesis chapter 6, begin to read together from verse number 1, please. Let's hear the Word of God. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Take a moment here, still our own souls before God, and let's seek him now as we come to his word for this season here before him. We're in his presence, and let's all pray together now. Let's all seek the face of God. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we come into thy presence again in Jesus' name and by his blood. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for the blood of Christ that brings us nigh to God. And Lord, we come to thee now upon the ground of redemption. We come to thee to pray and seek thy face. We're so aware in our own souls of our need of God. And Lord, we have no desire whatsoever to go through these moments and get to the final benediction and close the meeting in some sort of formality. But we desire to meet with God. We desire above all things that the Lord will draw near in this meeting. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus, hear us now upon your throne in heaven. Let the blood of the Lamb prevail. O God, we stand by faith right now into the victory of the cross. We pray against the devil and all the legions of hell. And we cry, O God, that you'll come. Purge the very atmosphere in holy blood. May the Holy Ghost himself descend into this gathering. And Father, I confess my inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. I lay myself afresh before God. I lay myself upon the altar of the Lord. And pray, O God, that you'll grant that holy baptism, that heavenly power, that infilling of the Holy Ghost, grant it to me now, I pray. Empty me of self and sin. Wash me in Jesus' blood. Extend the everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. And what we pray for this meeting, we pray for our sister congregations across the land and all of like precious faith. O God and Father of Jesus Christ, grant a heavenly baptism upon the church for which Jesus died, and give her power tonight, and give her souls, O God, we pray, to be gathered into that everlasting kingdom which shall never pass away. Hear prayer now. Continue with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to draw your attention tonight to a statement in this portion that we have just read. A statement that was made by God. It was a statement that was made long before the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It was a statement that was made in the early days of our world. A statement that was made before David fought Goliath. or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ever walked the plains of this earth. It was a statement that was made before God destroyed himself, Sodom and Gomorrah, when he wiped them out with fire and brimstone from heaven. In fact, it was a statement that was made directly before God destroyed the world by a flood in the days of Noah. The statement, and it is a statement, a declaration that sends a fearful chill down the spine of every right-thinking sinner that hears it. And I say every right-thinking sinner because not every sinner thinks right about the things of God. Because it is a statement that tells every right-thinking sinner that at any moment they can pass the point of no return. They can pass the point of no return. God said in Genesis 6, verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And dear sinner in the meeting, if God's spirit never strives with you, you have passed the point of no return. You've passed the point of no return. As I have said, the setting here in Genesis 6, God's going to destroy the world by a flood. It's the beginning of eternal hell for all but 8 people that were alive at that time. Those 8 that entered the ark, they were saved. But all but those 8 began their eternal hell when God destroyed the world by a flood. And before he did it, he sent out this warning to every future generation and every future sinner that would ever sit in a gospel meeting until the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." That's what I want to speak on tonight. I've entitled this message quite simply, "Sinners Passing the Point of No Return." Passing the point of no return. The first thing I want to show you in the text is this verse number 3, the people in danger. It says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." The word "man" in the text there is the Hebrew word Adam. Adam itself is a Hebrew word. It's the word that's used in Genesis 1 verse 26 for man when God said, "Let us make man in our image." It's there whenever the eternal council of the Trinity and they're making man. They've decided to put man upon the face of the earth. It's also used in Genesis chapter 3. Go back a page. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And there we read, Genesis 3, 22. "And the Lord God said, Behold the man." Here's the fall. The fall has taken place. Sin has entered the world. "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." And look at those words in verse 24. There's the word again. "So he drove out the man." He drove out the man. And that there it is, sinner friend. I want you to understand this right at this point. Adam is driven out by God. He's driven out of the Garden of Eden. What a thing it is when God drives a sinner out of his presence. Because that's what happened there. The Garden of Eden was symbolic of the presence of God. And God drove him out. God drove him out of it because of his sin. But dear sinner in this meeting, I want you to understand something. God didn't only drive out Adam. He drove out you and me. When God drove Adam out of that garden, he drove out the representative of the human race. He drove out Adam in that garden as the sinner's representative, as the representative of the human race. And dear sinner, understand this. When God drove out Adam, he drove out us all. We were in Adam. We fell in him. We sinned in him in his first transgression. Sinner, answer me a question now. What does that teach us? If when the trumpet sounds and time shall be no more, And you stand before God for judgment. In your sin. In the presence of God. God will drive you out. And he'll drive you to hell. That is exactly what he will do. Those awful words. God drove out the man. God drove him out. And dear friend, you listen to me now. To all the members of the human race, from that moment God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Sinner, you have to grasp something right now in this meeting. God is speaking to you. I've said this every night I preach. Forget about the preacher. God is addressing you. When this book is opened, God addresses the congregation. And he says to you tonight, unsaved friend, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Understand this. You're in danger in this meeting without Christ of a moment coming in your life when God will no longer strive with you. That's what the text is teaching. Every believer in this meeting, everyone that's saved, should be so thankful to God for the strivings of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no conviction of sin. There's no renewing the will. There's no enlightening the mind. There's no enablement to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered in the gospel. How thankful every believer ought to be that there was a day in their life when God, the Holy Ghost, got a hold of their heart and convicted them and brought trouble and brought them to rest by faith on Jesus Christ. But listen, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Shall not always strive with man. And sinner, in this meeting, in your sin and your rebellion and your Christ rejection, you've got to understand it. God is speaking to you. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. I want you to see something here. It's gospel language. It's the sinner being told to seek the Lord, but I want you to see what he says. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Unsaved, understand what the Lord's saying to you there. Seek the Lord while he's to be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The thought is, there may come a day when he'll not be found. When he'll not be near. Oh, sinner friend, understand that. God is speaking to you tonight. Maybe I speak to one. And sometime now you have been troubled in your soul. Pangs of conviction. You've left gospel meeting after gospel meeting. You've maybe talked to a Christian friend. You've maybe talked to a neighbor and they're saved. But whatever it is, and in your soul, there has been this trouble. There has been this conviction, this work of the Holy Ghost. Understand, that's what it is. Well, what the Lord's saying to you is, in light of it, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near, because the day may come when he'll not be found by you. Because God says in Genesis 6, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And oh, the awfulness of the man's life or the woman's life. And God's spirit no longer strives. Sinner, understand it. If it happens, you've passed the point of no return. There's no point in going to the minister's room. Because God's not striving. Understand what the text is saying. My spirit shall not always strive with man. The people in view. Second thing I want to show you, going back to Genesis 6, verse 3, is this. the person revealed. And I say that because I'm speaking of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. My spirit, God says, shall not always strive with man. That's what's in view. The strivings, the movings of the Holy Ghost with the sinner. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead, of the Trinity. He's as truly a person as the Father and the Son. He's not a mere presence or just an energy. He's the third person of the Godhead. Acts 5 tells us, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Ghost. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. You can't grieve or lie just to an energy. We're dealing here with the third person of the Godhead. And the Lord's warning you here, sinner, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What's his work? He convicts of sin. He convinces of sin. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And verse number 7. Because here's the Lord Jesus. He's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to die for his people, die for his church. And in John 16, 7, he says this. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Sinner friends, see it there. Christ telling you, the work of the Holy Ghost is to convince of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. There's the work that he does. That word reprove there, in verse number 8, it can be translated convict. Sinner, listen to me. Is there a pang of trouble in your soul? You've got to understand what's happening to you. The Holy Ghost is striving with you. He's striving with you. He's showing you your sin. He convicts of sin. He convicts of righteousness. He's showing you Christ as your only hope. And then it says, he convicts of judgment to come because he's showing you in your sin. Without the righteousness of Christ, there's only one place you're ending. Judgment. Judgment. That's where you're heading. In your sin, lost, without an anchor for the soul. Sinner, understand what the Holy Ghost is doing. He's showing you your lostness. He's showing you that you have no anchor for the soul. You're a breath from perishing. You're in your sin. You've never been forgiven. You've never been reconciled to God. You've never been saved. You have no peace with God. You're at enmity with God. You're on your way to hell. That's what he's showing you. Convicts of sin. Then he convicts of righteousness. He shows you Christ, your only hope. Then he shows you judgment to come. Judgment to come. What's the sin he convicts of? Look with me at verse number 9 of John 16. Jesus said of sin, because they believe not in me. It's a great sin of unbelief. It's a great sin of unbelief and rejecting of Christ. Let's make it abundantly clear here. It is not okay to sit in a gospel meeting and hear the Lord address your heart through the preaching of the word and walk out of the meeting unsaved. That is not okay. That is sin. That is wickedness. It's rebellion against God. It's against Christ. It's grieving to the Holy Ghost. And sinner, you need to understand what the Lord's saying. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Don't boast upon it another day. If you feel the pangs of conviction in your soul tonight, you ought to thank God from the bottom of your heart. Because we are going to look at a man later on in this message. And he received a word from God. And there wasn't the slightest concern in his soul. He had passed the point of no return. He had passed the point of no return. The Holy Ghost convicts of that great sin of unbelief. Let me ask you, in the quietness of your heart, how long is it going on? How long have you been coming and going from the house of the holy? How many sermons have you heard? How many times can you remember when there was trouble in your soul? And maybe you couldn't pluck up the courage to go and speak to the preacher. And you felt a need to sort this out. And at times you were so near to entering into eternal rest. At times you were so near to Jesus Christ and so near to coming. And yet, friend, tonight again, here we are, another gospel meeting, 2013, first one of the year, and you're still not saved. And God says to you, sinner, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I tell you, nobody here wants to pass the point of no return. God should strive with you nevermore. Passing the point of no return. The Holy Ghost convicts of sin. He also shows there's a righteousness. Sinner, listen to me. The Holy Ghost convicts of sin, but he convicts of righteousness. He shows you that in Jesus Christ, there's all you need. A righteousness to cover your guilt. Look what Jesus said, John 16, verse number 9. Of sin because they believe not in me. Look at verse 10. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. The evidence there was a righteousness procured and the work was done was this. Christ went to the Father. Entered heaven upon the merits of his own blood and a finished work. And sinner friend, listen to me. All you need tonight, and the Holy Ghost is showing you it again, your lostness, you're in your sin, you're heading to eternal hell, but all you need is found in Jesus Christ. And what Christ is saying here is this, when the Holy Ghost works with a sinner, he convinces of sin, and he'll show them Jesus Christ. Sinner, do you see your need tonight? Do you see what the Lord's showing you? He shows you one hope, one way out of your dilemma, and it is a dilemma. You're in your sin. It's all against God. It's all against your name. And the Holy Ghost is revealing this to you week by week in this church. Week by week. The Lord says to you, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And then the Lord tells us, he convinces of one other thing, of judgment. You better believe it. You die out of Jesus Christ. You die unforgiven. You die never reconciled to God. Here is your end. Let me just tell you the word. John said in Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and every man was judged according to his works. Sinner, there's where you're headed. To stand before the very God of heaven, whose presence you've sat in week by week, heard gospel call after gospel call to come to Christ. And 2013, the first Sunday night of it, finds you still without a Savior, and you're heading for judgment. and God says so. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Have you ever asked yourself, what's the real reason for the evolutionist lie? The fear of judgment. Do you ever ask yourself why the atheist in the street cries, there's no God? The fear of judgment. Sinner friend, that's exactly where you're heading. And that's exactly what the Lord's showing you tonight. You're in your sin. You're in your Christ rejecting state. You have no hope but Jesus Christ. Never get to Christ. You will stand for judgment. You will stand before Him. That's what the Lord's showing you. When you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 24, because here's another man. And in this doctrine of the judgment, he trembled. He trembled. Oh, he was a king. He had a throne. But he comes face to face with a preacher. And that preacher's the Apostle Paul. And he's a man full of the Holy Ghost. And he's in a prison. But Felix brings him out of the prison. And he brings him in before Felix and before Drusilla. And look at Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Righteousness, he had none. Temperance, he definitely had none. Judgment to come. And the Bible says Felix trembled. I was studying a bit about Felix this week. Amazing story. He was born a slave. Ended up sitting upon a throne. Suppose if you want to say in his career he did well. But I tell you, friend, when you read Felix's life, Felix was a slave his whole life. A slave to sin. A slave to wickedness. A slave to ungodliness. And though Felix trembled, and the Bible tells us as Paul preached, he did tremble. But sinner, I want you to see what he said. Even with the trembling in his soul. Look at the end of verse 25. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Sinner friend, listen. We never read that convenient season ever came for Felix. He died an ungodly man. And he perished. Oh, he trembled. He trembled as Paul showed him judgment to come. And trembled, though he did. He never came to Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, listen to me. There is nothing, no greater need, nothing even slightly comes near to being as important as this issue in your life tonight. God is speaking to you. He's speaking to someone in this meeting. I did not open my Bible at the beginning of last week and try to find some sort of message. God gives the word. He's making it loud and clear. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And I think there are those here, and the Spirit of God has been striving with you and troubling your soul, and you're concerned about these things. Sinner friend, do you see what you need to do? You need to step out in the promise. You need to get under the blood. You need to come to Christ. The people in danger, the world of sinners, the person in view in his work, the Holy Ghost. Go back with me to Genesis 6, verse 3. Because the promise given You say, where's the promise in the text? The promise is this. Just exactly what the text says. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Sinner friend, listen to me. Not every promise in the Bible makes pleasant reading for the sinner. My spirit shall not always strive with man. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Promise. He that believeth not shall be damned. Promise. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Promise. It's there in black and white. You can't alter it. God has said it. The wicked turned into hell. All the nations that forget God, promise. Sinner friend, do you see your situation? Do you see where you're at tonight? No anchor, no Savior, never been forgiven, never came to Christ. Turn with me as I close this message to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. I want to show you a man that received a word from God. Daniel chapter 5. Let me just tell you the setting of the chapter. It's the king's palace. The king's Belshazzar. It's a night of revelry, blasphemy, great idolatry. Let me tell you what they were doing. They brought the very vessels out of the temple in Jerusalem that were used to worship God, and they bring these vessels, and they bow down before their idols with the vessels, and they worship their gods of gold and silver and wood. It's a night of absolute blasphemy, of sin before God. But look at verse 5, Daniel 5, verse 5. In the same hour, in that same hour as they're blaspheming God and desecrating his vessels that were used in the temple worship, in the same hour, verse 5, came four fingers of a man's hand, wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Oh, the blasphemy has stopped. God has intervened. And the wise men are sent for. The wise men of the kingdom, they're sent for to try and tell Belshazzar what all this is about. They can do nothing for him. And then they send for Daniel, the man of God in the land. He's sent for. And he comes in, look at verse 23. Verse 23, he just tells him what he's done. Thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. And then look at verse 25. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Oh yes, in the midst of the blasphemy, the hand of God goes out against the king. And Daniel begins to interpret it and brings a word to this sinner's heart. Look what he said. Mene, verse number 26. Mene, God have numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Belshazzar, it's over. It's over. Tekel, verse 27, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Judgment. Perez, verse 28, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Oh, at the height of the blasphemy. Mene. Death. Tekel. Judgment. Peres. You've passed the point of no return, Belshazzar. Damned. God brought him a word. You know what Belshazzar's biggest problem was? It wasn't, as historians tell us, that at that very moment, the Medes and the Persians had already come into the city and they were about to take it over. That wasn't his biggest problem. His biggest problem was this, sinner. He received a word from God. We never read he was troubled. We never read he broke down. We never read that he repented and tried to seek some way out. In fact, the exact opposite. There wasn't even a concern in his soul. God never strove with him. Mene. Death. Tekel. Judgment. Peres. And tonight, in the fires of eternal hell, is Belshazzar. Sinner friend, understand this tonight. You are before God. There's a sinner full of his own blasphemy. Blasphemed the God of heaven. And even when a word was brought to him, it never even affected him. I'm nearly fearful to say what I'm going to say. If you sit in the gospel meeting center week by week, and there's never trouble in your soul, you ought to be concerned. Because I have told you, if God's Spirit never speaks to you, there's no point in sending for the minister. Salvation's of the Lord. But sinner, if you have the slightest bit of trouble, anxiety in your whole soul, you need to act on it. You need to see and understand right now exactly what's happening. The third person of the eternal Godhead is speaking to you. He's showing you your danger. He's a faithful witness. He's showing you your danger. And then he's showing you the remedy found in Jesus Christ. He's warning you where you're heading, judgment. But sinner friend, listen to me. He's showing you your lostness, and then he shows you Jesus Christ. Precious blood that was shed in Calvary to wash away all your sin. A righteousness that will cover your guilt right now. That's what he's showing you. Sinner friend, you've got to act on it. It's time to repent and believe the gospel. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Promise. Fact. Statement of fact. Sinner friend, in this meeting, you need to come to Christ. All you need to save you is found there. young person, older person. Matters not your age. Spirit and the bride say, come. Come now, the Lord said. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. My sinner friend, what are you going to do? Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you pass from death unto life before you leave this meeting? Here we are, the first Sabbath evening, 2013. You decide in your heart right now, this is going on no longer. I must sort this out. Yes, sinner, you must. Because how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. While every head is bowed, and all the Lord's people are